Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Hello, and welcome to Good News in the Morning. This is Reverend Juliet Shimp speaking, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today. Please check us out at www.gncm.ca. That's short for Good News Christian Ministries, where you can learn about our blog, our preachers, our podcasts, and even ways to give online to this exciting organization. Well, today we're continuing our series on the Beatitudes, and we're looking at one in particular, namely Matthew 5, verse 7. Which says the following: Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. What an interesting topic to discuss today, mercy, because we live in a world that is anything but. You know, Clint Eastwood famously said, I have a strong feeling about gun control. If there's a gun around, I want to be controlling it. He also said, in one of his movies, go ahead, make my day. Karate Kid, in that movie, we hear phrases like this, strike first, strike hard, no mercy. Yes, this is a tough world. We don't often hear people saying, be merciful. But indeed, this is what Jesus preaches, and we want to live like him. We're going to look at three parts to this beatitude. First, mercy is salvation extended. Second, mercy is sympathy expressed. And thirdly, mercy is suffering experienced. We're going to come back and look at those, but let's take a moment and focus in on Christ as we listen to a beautiful song by Chris Tomlin, called Good, Good Father.
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper. Good Father, it's who you are, it's who you are, it's who you are, and I'm loved by you, it's who I am, it's who I am, it's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for it. What we need before.
can hardly think as you call.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. Today we're looking at a beatitude about mercy. And it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Well, we're going to look at three things now. Firstly, that mercy is salvation extended. Second, that mercy is sympathy expressed. And third, that mercy is suffering experienced. Let's start then with the first. Mercy is salvation extended. Warren Wiersbe explains that mercy is not a quality natural to man. It must be received as a gift from God. He goes on to explain, you cannot extend mercy until you have received it. So the first step is to experience God's mercy, because indeed he is merciful. Titus 3 verse 5 says, he saved us according to his mercy. So I'm speaking now directly to the listener who has not yet opened up his or her heart to God's mercy. Will you welcome it today? Will you say to God, Lord, I need mercy. Just four simple words that will change your life. Now let me explain a little bit about the relationship between grace and mercy, because they are actually two sides of the same coin. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Let me say that again. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. What do we truly deserve? We don't deserve promotions. We don't deserve summer vacations. What we do deserve as sinners is hell. But God, in his rich and lavish mercy, gave up his only son to die on a cross to spare us from that eternal torment. So mercy is not getting what we deserve. Grace says, I pardon you, and mercy says, I pity you. I have a real life example of mercy shown to me by a fellow human, and it was a professor of mine at seminary. You know, all of the professors in all of my universities usually issued a 10% penalty on any assignment that was one day late. If it was 2 days, it was 20%. 3 days, 30% off the grade, and so forth. 10% per day. And then at seminary, along comes a professor whose penalty was only 1% a day. Oh, the students loved it. We loved him, the professor. Sometimes we held on to the paper a couple days late because we knew that we'd only lose 2%. But in keeping it 2 extra days, we could make it 10% better. This professor, when I approached him and I said to him, "Why are you only giving 1% late penalty?" He said, "The Lord extended mercy to me, and so now I extend it to others." So that was an example of a merciful person. The Bible is helpful in giving us an example of an unmerciful person. It's called the parable of the unmerciful servant. It's taken from Matthew 18. And I'm picking up at verse 23. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him." That's the mercy piece. "Canceled the debt and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. And he said, 'Pay back what you owe me.' His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me and I will pay you back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt." Wow, what a story. What a parable. The man who was shown such mercy from the king did not in turn extend it to others. That is the unmerciful servant. Friends, in that parable, God is represented by the king. God shows us tremendous mercy. The question is, what are we going to do with that mercy? Are we then in turn going to extend it to others? Or are we going to be unmerciful? All right, that wraps up the first section, namely, mercy is salvation extended. Second, we're going to look at mercy is sympathy expressed. Now, first of all, let me be clear that we must show mercy. You see, Luke 6 verse 36 says, "Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful." You see, we must emulate him. Ephesians 5 says as much. It says, "Be imitators of God." So if God is merciful, we must be merciful. So what does this mean to say that mercy is sympathy expressed? Well, Billy Graham explains, Christianity is first a coming to Christ, an inflowing of the living water, and second, it is a reaching out towards others, an outflowing. Did you catch that? Mercy is first an inflowing from God and then an outflowing to our neighbors. Now, the Hebrew word for mercy is chesedeh. It does not mean only to sympathize with a person, in the popular sense of the term, and it does not mean simply to feel sorry for someone in trouble. No, it means the ability to get right inside the other person's skin until we can see things with that other person's eyes and think things with that other person's mind. That's why William Barclay translates Matthew 5:7 like this. "Oh, the bliss of the man who gets right inside other people until he can see with their eyes, think with their thoughts, and feel with their feelings. For he who does that will find others do the same for him." So mercy is really more than sheer compassion for the unfortunate. It involves an imaginative understanding. If you wish to do for some other person what you like him to do for you, then you must be able to put yourself in his place and see what life looks like through his eyes. Here's a wonderful example of living out that type of sympathy. Queen Victoria was a close friend of Principal and Mrs. Tulloch of St. Andrews. Prince Albert died and Victoria was left alone. Just at the same time, Principal Tulloch died and Mrs. Tulloch was left alone. Unannounced, Queen Victoria came to call on Mrs. Tulloch when she was resting on a couch in her home. When the Queen was announced, Mrs. Tulloch struggled to rise quickly from the couch and to curtsy. The Queen stepped forward and said, "My dear, don't rise. I am coming to you today not as the Queen to a subject, but as one woman who has lost her husband to another." All right, we've looked at mercy as salvation extended and mercy as sympathy expressed. Let's look at the third. Mercy is suffering experienced. The Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Jesus does not mean that if you care for the needy, then others will care for you. At least, it did not work out that way for him. No, extending mercy typically results in suffering. That's why 1 Peter 4 says, "Do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ." Now, sympathy is derived from two Greek words, namely syn, S-Y-N, which means together with, and passion, P-A-S-C-H-E-I-N, which means to experience or to suffer. So sympathy means experiencing things together with the other person and literally going through what he or she is going through. Alexander Pope said, "Teach me to feel another's woe, to hide the fault I see, that mercy I to others show, that mercy shown to me." Now, what does this really look like? Nikki Gumbel helps us to get practical. He says, first, we are to be merciful to those who are in need, like the victim in the parable of the Good Samaritan. We are to look out for those who are hungry, sick, outcast, and unpopular. Our mercy will lead naturally to practical help. Nikki Gumbel then goes on to say, second, we are to be merciful to those who have wronged us, even where justice cries out for punishment. Wow, this second meaning is really hard. It's one thing to be merciful to those who are in need, but it's a whole other kettle of fish to be merciful to those who have wronged us. You see, it's all about loving the unlovable. Do you have somebody unlovable in your life that has wronged you? Should you not show them mercy? You see, Christ saved us while we were still enemies of God. This is why the dictionary gives a synonym for mercy. Want to know what it is? It's forgiveness. We need to forgive those who wrong us. And the definition of mercy, also located in the dictionary, is a compassionate or kindly forbearance toward an offender or an enemy. I have a cute story to share with you. There was a servant who had broke open and drunk several bottles of the Governor Oglethorpe's wine. Now, Wesley interceded for the offender and tried to calm the enraged governor down. "Sir," shouted the irate governor, "I never forgive." "Well," replied Wesley, "then I hope you never offend." All right, that wraps up our three understandings of mercy. Namely, that mercy is salvation extended, sympathy expressed, and suffering experienced. I want to pause to listen to a great song by Matt Redman called 10,000 Reasons. And when we come back, we're going to look at the promise of this parable.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the
your holy name. worship your holy name. Lord, I worship your holy name. Sing like never.
Welcome back to Good News in the Morning. We're looking at a beatitude, namely, blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. What does it mean, blessed? You know, some Bible translations put the word happy. Happy are the merciful. But that word happy does not do justice. You see, happiness often pertains to outward influences or outward experiences. Our happiness tends to be dependent upon our day-to-day circumstances. Blessed is much, much more. We are promised a blessed life, and that means deep inner peace, joy, and gratitude. And so it's worth it to be merciful, for then you will know great joy and inner peace. And that's why the Message explains the blessing this way. It says, you're blessed when you care. At the moment of being careful, you find yourselves cared for. What a beautiful thing to be blessed by extending mercy. And you know, this is just what Jesus did. Jesus said, as he hung on the cross in Luke 23, Father, punish them. No, he didn't say that. He said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Wow, what mercy displayed by Jesus Christ. May that be said of us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are rich in mercy. You are rich in mercy towards us. And we desire today to be rich in mercy towards others. I pray right now that you will fill every listener with your mercy. I pray, Father, that they will receive your mercy gladly, that they will recognize that they are in need of your mercy, and then that they would extend it to those in need and also those who have offended. Help us to expressly forgive those who have wounded us. And I'm praying for the listener right now who is holding on to bitterness and pain. I pray that they would release their offender to their highest good. And would you then bless them with inner peace as a result? We thank you, Father, that you are good and always faithful. We love you and adore you. And we say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.